Well, praise God. It is good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. And yes, we need to get ready in this little space of time that we have for that great day of the Lord. That expectation that we have in our hearts, that moment when He comes and it's all over. That accounting time and how we want to be ready. Praise the Lord. Thank God He's given us opportunity here tonight. And oh yes, as we think about the Lord, as we sing His praises, oh yes, we can get closer to the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what this is all about. It's edging our way, oh yes, to the other side, you know, little by little. We don't know when this life ends as far as we are concerned as individuals, but one day surely it will. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity right now. Oh yes, opportunity to sing His praises. Oh yes, opportunity to give our hearts to the Lord, our attention over to God. And oh yes, to hear what He might say to our hearts, what He might say to our souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord in prayer right now. Let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank You again, Lord, for Your great and wondrous ways. We thank You for Your mercy. Oh God, we just thank You, Lord, that we can put all things in Thy hands, Lord, and oh, that we can worship You, Lord. Oh God, and oh God, that we can give You our hearts. I pray, oh Lord, right now, oh God, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh God, to forget about all the little things that creep up and get onto our minds, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to turn this service over to You, Lord. Oh God, that our minds would be stayed upon Thee, Lord. Oh God, that we could rest in Thy Word, Lord, that we could ponder our hearts, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that we could give, oh Lord, a good account to Thee. Oh Lord, when we stand before Thee, Lord. I pray that You'd work in us, Lord. I pray that You'd bind this strong man and, oh God, everything that would try to hinder, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd talk to us in the mighty name of Jesus, that You'd draw us close to You, Lord. Oh God, You know the needs of every individual, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You would meet those needs, that You'd talk to every heart, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that Your word have free course. Oh God, have Your way, Lord Jesus. Oh God, for we give this service over to You, Lord. We ask You to move in Jesus' name, oh Lord, oh God, to give the words, Lord, to bring them forth with Your authority, oh God, with Your anointing, Lord, oh God, we need You, Jesus. Oh God, we know, oh God, we need Your ability. We know we could do nothing without You, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd use this message. Oh God, I pray that it would go forth and do that all which You have ordained. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, that You'd meet the needs of Your people, Lord, that You'd talk to every heart. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, for the hour is late. Your coming is at hand. I pray that You'd help us to have our lamps trimmed and burning. I pray that our hearts, oh Lord, would be prepared, Lord. I pray that You'd help us here tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about our mighty God here tonight. And oh my, you know, He is so mighty. He is so awesome. He is beyond our comprehension for sure. But praise the Lord, as we look into the Word of God, I just pray that it give us a greater glimpse of the mighty God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 8 and read a little bit here. In Psalms chapter 8 as we begin here tonight. Praise our God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a Psalm of David, and it's a short one. But praise the Lord, it begins by saying, verse 1, Psalms chapter 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. And I just have to pause there. I just, as I was reading that, I just think, you know, the heavens are so vast. and magnificent. And praise the Lord, this Almighty One that we are declaring tonight and speaking of, His glory is even above the heavens. It's, oh yes. And yet, oh, it is such an awesome thought to think that He regards us. Oh, praise the Lord, the Almighty God who spoke this world into existence. Oh, yes, and put everything in its place. Exactness and preciseness is our God. And oh, yes, it was His will. It was His ways. It was His timing. Everything, oh, yes, as He ordained. But praise the Lord, here we are, these many years after Jesus Christ walk this earth, and yet, oh yes, we're still looking for His return. Praise the Lord, and we're still singing His praises. Oh yes, and praise the Lord, we're worshiping our mighty God. Praise the Lord who has set His glory above the heavens. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 2 here, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And, you know, this strikes me too right now. Because, you know, babes and sucklings are not very strong in the physical sense. They're very highly dependent. And, you know, yet God has ordained strength in that. And how our God sees the things that in the sight of man are weak. And, you know, not so strong and you know, full of trouble quite often. Yet God takes the weak things of this world. And, oh, yes, He gives strength to those that are poor in spirit. Oh, yes, who call upon His name. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's strength that comes from the praises of God's people. Praise the Lord. And by that means, we can steal the enemy. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, Thou hast ordained praises. You too, as the word, if you want to consider how Jesus interpreted it as he uttered those words in Matthew. Praise the Lord. Oh, the praises that come forth, and there's victory in praise. Praise the Lord when we truly worship the mighty God. Oh, yes, there's a strength that comes forth in a great and wonderful way, a strength that can still the enemy and the avenger. Praise the Lord. And then verse 3 says, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, our mighty God that came to this earth, put on flesh, made Himself a little lower than the angels. Oh, yes, but yet, oh, how He is crowned with glory and honor. And oh, yes, how it is. He is the mighty One that does have dominion over the works of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. All things will be put under His feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord when this all comes to its final, all reality and all is over. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, the biggest point I want to bring out here is that question that is asked in verse 4. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? This is a wonder of wonders, I would say, because God would not have to regard us. There He is in the heavens. He's so above us Oh, he's so mighty. He's so beyond words, beyond our comprehension. He would not have to acknowledge us. He would not have to see us. He would not have to regard us. But praise the Lord, yes. He loved us so much that he came to this world as a son of God and as a son of man to visit his people. Oh, yes, to make a way available for his people that they could be saved from their sins. Oh, that is a wonder of wonders. Praise the Lord. A God so mighty and so great, so magnificent, so powerful. Oh, so out there. But yet, he was mindful of us. He regarded us. He thought of us. And oh, he came to this earth as a man, put on flesh. Oh, yes, so that we could be saved from our sins and find the living God. Oh, that is the wonder of wonders. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love this whole chapter, but we're going to start here with verse 9. Praise our God. Verse 9 here, Isaiah chapter 40, it says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there couldn't be news that would be better than that. And if we can just imagine how, oh, yes, it's being heralded here. Oh, it's being announced. It's prophetic in this at this time when it was uttered. But praise the Lord, that moment would come when those good tidings, oh, could be proclaimed and announced. Praise the Lord. And oh, it was worthy, oh, to be heard throughout all the world in reality. And yet, oh, yes. The angels appeared to shepherds who were in the fields watching their flock by night. And oh, how that must have been when, oh yes, suddenly the angel of the Lord came upon those shepherds. Oh, they could see the glory of the Lord shining around about them. And oh my, they were afraid, it tells us in Luke, the second chapter. But they had an announcement. They were heralding, oh yes, the grand news, the best news either, the best news ever. Praise the Lord. They were saying, fear not, to those shepherds. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, oh, the angel that proclaimed it, oh yes, was joined by, you know, a heavenly host. And, oh yes, as the instructions were that it would be a sign unto those shepherds and that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, oh, that heavenly host, a great multitude of angels, oh, would you have like to have seen that? Wouldn't that have been grand? Oh, to be those shepherds there watching their sheep by night, and suddenly that heavenly host appears, and oh, the great proclamation, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, those angels worshiping and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day that was. But Isaiah, back here in Isaiah 40, is prophesying of that moment. He says again in verse 9, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was time to get ready. Yes, because Jesus Christ had come into the world. And yes, he was going to go into the cities of Judah.
and declare the glorious gospel, the good tidings of great news that, oh yes, was for all people. Praise the Lord. Verse 10 tells us, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And oh yes, here he was going to come with a strong hand, with authority. And his arm would rule before him. And you know, that's interesting language here. Just let's look at a couple places here. Isaiah chapter 59. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 59, if we can look there for a moment. And let's look at verse 16 here. Also prophetic, of course. And it says in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh yes, that's our Savior coming to this world. And oh yes, he came as the arm of God. The arm is an extension, isn't it? With our arms we reach out. With our arms we touch. Oh, with our arms we could do all kinds of things. That's right. But it's an extension, an important part of our being. And praise the Lord, Jesus came as the arm of God that brought forth salvation to this world. And what a wonderful thing that was. Who hath believed our report, it says in Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Praise the Lord, he was going to come. He was going to come, that arm of the Lord. Who was going to believe that report? And to whom would it be revealed? The question is asked in Isaiah chapter 53. Oh my, but indeed there would be a people that would see and understand and acknowledge the living God. It tells us in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save those which were lost. Praise the Lord. He came, yes, oh, to be beholden, you know, by the people that would see him. Oh, yes, those that would witness this glorious moment as he would come into this world as the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And yes, the news would spread. Praise the Lord. Those that would receive him would, oh, yes, testify and bring the glorious gospel to whomsoever would hear. Praise the Lord. And here we are today, yes, still a part of that family of God, those that have seen the salvation of our God, even unto the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord, because the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Oh, praise the Lord. That is so wonderful to think of and to ponder. Praise the Lord. So back here in Isaiah chapter 40, oh, it says that, yes, his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Jesus came to establish his kingdom, and there was a lot of work before him as he came to bring it forth. Praise the Lord, that work is still continuing at this moment. And yes, that reward that is spoken of here in that 40th chapter, Well, what is that reward? It tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Praise the Lord, that is the reward that Jesus Christ was seeing. Yes, it tells us in that 10th verse, in that 53rd chapter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. That's a wonderful verse because, you know, it seemed that Jesus' days were cut off. He, you know, ministered for 3.5 years, and then it seemed that he was cut off. But praise the Lord, it would continue because, oh, he was going to bring forth a seed, a people, a church of the living God, a people, oh, yes, it would be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, a people that would be participants in his kingdom, and they would prolong his days. Because, yes, we are declaring the glorious gospel. That message still echoes today as we bring it forth. Oh, yes, the Savior has come into the world. Oh, yes, we can call upon him. We can find him. Oh, yes, we can reach out to him and touch his garment. Praise the Lord. He's here to meet our needs. He's here to bring forth salvation. He's here to help us in our times of need. And oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that glorious gospel continues the works that Jesus began. He said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. He put his Spirit within his people. He put the Holy Ghost within his people so that we could continue his ministry and bring forth the mighty works of God. And praise the Lord, that was, oh yes, the Lord's reward. Oh, that he would bring forth a seed that would worship him, that would sing forth his praises, that would honor him with their lives. Praise the Lord. And that's what verse 10 is all about here in chapter 40 of Isaiah. Verse 11 also talks about our Savior. And this is so beautiful. It says in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, I see the tenderness. I see the gentleness of our Savior. Oh, yes, how he reaches out. He knows us in our times of struggle. He knows us in our times of need. He sees us when the burden is so heavy that we don't hardly know how we can carry it. But praise the Lord, and here we see his gentleness and all his willingness to help us, his gathering of his people together, gathering the lambs with his arm, reaching out to that one that's stumbling, that one that's hindered, that one that's in jeopardy. Our Lord reaches out with his arm, oh, to catch that one that got caught in the thicket and can't get out, that needs help. Praise the Lord, that prodigal. Oh, yes, that one that had quite an attitude. But praise the Lord, our God has mercy, and we see his gentleness here, how he would feed his flock like a shepherd. A shepherd leads his sheep. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, a shepherd is there to help them in their time of struggling, of need, to feed them, to guide them, to direct them. And that's our Savior, praise the Lord. There we see him gathering the lambs with his arm and carrying them in his bosom. Oh, there's times, oh yes, when it's so heavy and the struggle is so hard, but yet at that time, oh, the Lord lifts us up. Oh, he gives us a strength that we don't have in ourselves. Praise the Lord as we call upon him. He carries us in his bosom. Praise the Lord. That's our Savior who loved us so much that he gave his life a ransom for many when he died upon the cross. Praise the Lord, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, that's his gentleness and his goodness, his mercy. Praise the Lord, that's our shepherd. Oh, the Lord Jesus who came to this earth because he loved us. Oh, yes, and he paid a price for our salvation. Yes, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And he could have opened up his mouth, but he didn't. No, he took it all there in Pilate's judgment hall. He took the abuse, he took the scorn, he took the ridicule, and he didn't stand up for himself either. Oh no, he took it all because he knew that it was ordained of God that he would give his life for his people. Praise the Lord. And that's what he did. Oh yes, because there was no other way. There was no other way that we could be saved. But praise the Lord, he did it for us. Praise the Lord. Even though we were all sheep that had gone astray, oh, he reached out for us in our low moment. Oh, to pick us up. Oh, yes, to carry us when we needed help and we were struggling. Oh, maybe when the pain was so hard that we didn't know how to bear it. Oh, our Lord knows how to help us. And he's here to help us even tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the wonderful God that we serve. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on in verse 12 to describe our wonderful God. And this is so beyond our comprehension. Let's think about this as we read verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Now, there is no one that, there's no one who could possibly have this kind of ability other than our God. And if we could just imagine this mighty one, this mighty God that we serve, just, you know, have you ever scooped up a little water from a lake, perhaps? How much water is in that lake? How would you like to measure it? Oh my, but here it talks about our God who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Oh, so amazing. And yes, he meted out heaven with a span. I mean, the heavens are so vast and majestic and beyond. Oh, what we can see. We can only see a few couple stars comparatively with our eyes. But yet, oh yes, they go so beyond what the human eye can see in itself. And yet, God has it all measured. He has it all named. You know, he knows it specifically. He called it into order, and so it is. Oh, everything laid out exactly as he ordered it to. And he comprehended the dust of the earth in measure. I mean, dust? Can you imagine trying to measure the earth in a measure? You know, some kind of device to determine how much dust there is? And then besides, he weighed the mountains in scales. The mountains, the vast mountains that are so high and magnificent in many ways. And the hills in a balance. Who could do that? And then it asks in verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Who taught the Lord? Who put it in him? Who directed the Spirit of God? And then it asks in verse 14, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Who did that? Who did that? You know, there's a lot to marvel at. If you keep your finger in that page, I'm just going to turn to a few places here because this is so amazing to ponder also. Praise our God. But if we go back to the book of Luke for a moment, and we read in the second chapter again, but this time little later in that chapter, where it talks about when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And it tells us in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, here's a story that, you know, feast days were over, and, you know, they were all leaving, and obviously they were traveling in a large company. I would suppose the kinsfolks and those that were from the same villages and all were together. And somehow it comes to them, you know, that Jesus, who was 12 years old at that time, was not with them. And, you know, Mary and Joseph at that point, you know, well, they think he must be with the kinspeople, you know, the acquaintances, those that they are traveling with. So you can just imagine as, you know, they're, you know, looking everywhere they could think of to find him, and he's not there. They really are wondering, where is he? So after looking around, asking whoever was with them, and finding him not, they went back to Jerusalem to seek him. And this is what happened. It tells us in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Yes, we have this 12-year-old boy, and there he is. He's in the temple. He's talking to the doctors, the teachers of the law. He's hearing them, and he's asking them questions. And it tells us all that heard him. Oh, here he is, 12 years old, but he has an understanding that they've never seen before in a 12-year-old boy. Oh, yes, it's astonishing, his understanding and his answers. Now consider this. Here in the 7th chapter of the book of John, again, it's the midst of the feast. It tells us in verse 14 here in chapter 7 of the book of John. And it tells us in verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? See, he hadn't been to their, you know, their teaching synagogues, or he hadn't been among the scribes and those that were learned. He hadn't gone to school, so to speak. But yet they marveled, they had a marvel, because he had an understanding, he had a knowledge that they could not comprehend. And oh yes, it's amazing if we just contemplate the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. There, as it talks about Peter and John, Acts 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It's amazing what the Spirit of God can teach us. Of course, Jesus was not just a man, was he? He was God, robed in flesh. Praise the Lord. And how he astonished the people. Oh, they said, never man spake like him. Praise the Lord. Oh, how he astonished them with his understanding. And of course, there's a prophetic utterance in Isaiah 50, verse 4. This is wonderful. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God robed in flesh who came to this world to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. So back here in Isaiah 40, with whom took he counsel? Verse 14. Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Oh, no one had to teach God. God is always known. God has always been. Everything is known by God. And this is how he considers the nations. As we go on to read verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All the significance people, they get so involved and so stirred at the goings on in this world. But how does God see it? Oh, just a drop in the bucket. Those nations, just a drop that hits the bucket. Oh, that's how he sees them, like the small dust of the balance. Oh, hardly nothing at all, hardly visible. Oh, he taketh up the isles. That stands for the coast, the shores, the islands, all that kind of thing. It's all a very little thing to God. And he says in verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Lebanon was known for its gorgeous cedars and all the other things that grew bountifully in Lebanon. But, in spite of that, if you were to take all of it, there's not enough there to, adequately praise the Lord and give sacrifice. The beasts that dwelt there, hardly nothing there. Not sufficient for a burnt offering in this regard. And he sees it as nothing. Look at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Oh, that's God's eyes. That's his view on politics. Oh, boy, all these goings on and all these things in this world. But God sees it so differently than man sees it. This is God's view of the goings on in this world. And then he asks, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Now we're going to talk about God. How are you going to liken him? What kind of, likeness are you going to give him? Or how are you going to compare him? The heathens, all think that you've got to have something visible to worship. How can you worship something that isn't seen? That you can't put your hand upon. Psalms 115, it describes this. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh, praise the Lord. No credit, no glory goes to us. Because of God, for his name's sake we give glory, praise the Lord. And then it asks, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? That was what they always wondered about the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. They worship a God that wasn't visible, one that you couldn't see with your eyes or touch. No, that they needed something tangible, so they thought. But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 3 of Psalms 115, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Praise the Lord. See, that's how God looks at things. It's according to his will, his directive. He's in charge in spite of what people may think and consider. No, what matters is what God thinks, how he regards. Oh, yes, what he considers. Our God is in the heavens. Praise the Lord, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Oh, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And verse 8 here in Psalms 115 says, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Oh, praise the Lord, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Praise the Lord, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord, oh, that one who is that help in the time of trouble, that one to whom we can call, oh, any moment of the day, any moment of the night, and he's there. And yes, he is our shield. Praise the Lord. He's our protector. Oh, he cares for us. He knows how to cover us with his wings. Oh, he knows how to make a way of escape. Oh, he knows how to make the rest blinded so that we're protected. Oh, whatever else is needed to shelter us, to be our shield. Praise the Lord. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, praise the Lord. And it goes on in Isaiah 40 to talk about those that would, think that they would have to make a graven image. Oh, yes. You know, verse 18 again. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? You know, you're going to make something to make yourself a god? Doesn't that seem a little bit ridiculous? But it goes on. Oh, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. Oh, I'm trying to make something of value. I'm going to try to make something with my hands. Oh, yes. I'm going to put gold on it, you know, and spread some silver over it, and you know, oh, this will be precious. One, I'm going to bow, and you know, something I made with my hands, and serve that thing. Oh, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to repair a graven image that shall not be moved. Oh, I've got to have something. And if I don't have money for silver or gold or that kind of image, I'll just go find a tree that hopefully will not rot. And you know, have a skilled workman make me out some kind of graven image that I can bow down and worship that. Oh, how pathetic. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Praise the Lord. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. But praise the Lord, we've got a God who is so mighty and so strong, so powerful, oh, so all-knowing, so magnificent. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it asks in verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the world? Don't you know that there is a God? Don't you know that he made you? That you were made in his image and you need to bow your knee to him? Don't you know that? Has it not been told you? Don't you understand? Oh, it's explained in verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Praise the Lord. He's telling us right here. The earth is a circle. Praise the Lord. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Again, how God sees this. You know, he's in the heavens. And, oh, you know, this creation down here. Oh, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. You know, that is quite a question. You know that David asked in Psalms 8, oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou hast visited him? What a question. God did not have to regard us. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, it tells us here in verse 22, Isaiah 40. Our God, he's the one that stretches out the heavens as a curtain. Oh, no big feet for him. Oh, just stretching out the heavens. Oh, the heavens that are so vast, so beyond whatever we could see, even with powerful instruments. He's just stretched them out like a curtain. And he spread them out as a tent to dwell in. Oh, praise the Lord. I love these descriptions. Our God is so mighty. He's so powerful. He spoke this world into existence, and so it was. That's the voice of the Creator. He just said it, let there be light. And praise the Lord, there was light. Oh, the voice of the Lord. Verse 23 says, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the world as vanity. Again, God's view of the goings on in this world, oh, of all the politics, oh, of all the things that people worry and consider over. God's going to bring those princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. It tells us in verse 24, yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And the breath of God, just, he will do what he will do. And at his bidding, at his saying, when it's all over, praise the Lord, he's going to just blow upon this. It's all going to wither. It's all going to be vanish away. It's all going to be burnt up. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all going to be taken away as stubble, as nothing. It's not going to even exist. And again, he asks in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Oh, who can you compare me to? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Well, I'll tell you right now, God has no equal. Oh, there is no one that you can liken unto our God, our mighty, wonderful God, who made us, who breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Praise the Lord. We're here because he brought us into this world. Yes. He had a plan. He had a purpose. Praise the Lord. And I hope and pray that, it's that initial breath of life within your being. But I pray that the breath of the Holy Ghost is also within your being. Oh, that living breath of the Lord that brings forth eternal life. Oh, God, when he fills us with his Spirit, oh, he brings forth the breath of the Holy Ghost, the breath of life, the breath of the living God into our being. As he breathed on them there, 20th chapter of the book of John, he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. They were endued with that power from on high. Oh yes, that Holy Ghost fell on them as they were gathered in the upper room, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. That was the breath of God coming into their spiritual being so that they might, oh yes, live and reign with God, his people. Yes, oh, he puts that Spirit within his people. Oh yes, that eternal life. Praise the Lord. So that we could be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, so that we could be sons and daughters of the living God. We can be the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what he was looking for. Oh, and that's why he went to the cross. Yes, because yes, there was going to be a people that would come forth. Oh, they would come forth and sing his praises. Oh, yes, and declare his work. And oh, yes, be an example unto this world, a light unto this world that is so driven into darkness. But praise the Lord. Oh, God has a wondrous way. And yes, there is none that you can liken God unto. And there is no one that is his equal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so continuing here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Oh, this is so amazing. Oh, there are so many stars there in the heaven. And yes, we name a few of them, you know, and some that are visible to the eyes, we can become what familiar with. You know, we watch some of the constellations, and it's a marvel that, you know, we can tell the seasons by the movement of the stars and all of that. And it's a wonderful thing. And yes, we've given some of them names, but all those zillions and zillions of stars up there, way beyond what we could ever comprehend or see, even if we had the most intricate of instruments to try to see. It's so beyond, it's so vast, it's so magnificent. Yet our God has put it all there by his will and by his declaration. And yes, he calls all those stars up there by their names. They all have a name. By God, amen, praise the Lord. It's the greatness of his might. And how beautiful it is, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Oh, what he has declared. Oh, he put everything, into motion there in the heavens. And oh, yes, the sun is a star, isn't it? And, oh, yes, even the sun is 93 million miles out there. And oh, my, the other stars so beyond. But God knows it all. God sees it all. God made it all. And he knows them all by their names. All their particulars. Every single thing. We just know little bits and pieces. You know, some, you know, yellow stars, some blue stars, some red stars, you know. And they all have, you know, different powers. And you know, we try to figure things out slightly. But God is so beyond that. And oh, how we could ask again, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God would not have to see us. He would not have to regard us. He would not have to be here for us. And then there's another question here, 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Oh, well, who'd even want to say, you know, he's, you know, not regarding me? You know, my way is hid from the Lord, you know. Well, people, because, yes, their deeds are wicked, their deeds are evil, yes, they try to hide from God, don't they? They try to make themselves invisible to God. Does it work? No way does it work. Oh, my. And, you know, to say, my judgment is passed over from my God. I mean, in other words, he's going to excuse me, I'm excused. Oh, sure. Is that what you think? I think not. No, we serve a God so mighty, so powerful, oh, so beyond our imagination. I'll tell you what, you can't hide from him. People may try. Oh, yes, I suppose all the time. But God sees it all, and not only does he see, but he knows all the very contents of the heart. He knows what's inside. He knows all the ponderings. Oh, he knows all the thinking. It's all known to God. And he can't hide from him. But then, oh, I thank God, I don't want to hide from him. Oh, no, I don't want to be a mystery to God. No, he's the mighty God, and I need him. I need his strength. Oh, yes, a God so strong, so mighty, so powerful, so exacting, oh, so in control. I need that God. And again, he wouldn't have to regard me. All the inhabitants thereof are his grasshoppers. Oh, why does he care? Why does he have mercy? But praise the Lord, oh, he does indeed have mercy for those that will fear him and call out to him. Oh, yes, our wonderful God. Oh, that we can trust. Oh, and the wonderful provisions that he makes for those that love him. Oh, I wouldn't want to hide from him. I don't want my ways to be hid from him. I need Jesus. I need him every day, every hour. I need his strength. I need his ability. I can do nothing without my God. Oh, it tells us here, again asking in verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. He doesn't have to try to figure things out. He knows it all. You know, there's no mysteries to God. Oh, my, there's no searching of his understanding. And besides, he doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't need to, you know, go rest in order to gain strength, momentum, or whatever all, or take supplements, or whatever all that our human flesh seems to demand. No, there is no searching of his understanding. But how I love how he reaches out for us. Oh, this is so beautiful. Verse 29 tells us, he giveth power to the faint. You know, we've been talking about a God that is so powerful. Oh, and so beyond our comprehension. But yet here it tells us, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Oh, how beautiful this is. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, how beautiful it is. Our God, who has had such compassion on us, who regarded us in spite of all our failures, in spite of all the wicked things that we once did, praise the Lord. Oh, in spite of our weaknesses, he regards us, and praise the Lord to those that will wait upon him, to those that will call upon him. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, this is a marvel. This is a wonder. Oh, what a blessing we have. You know, Sister Dawn wrote me an email, and it just was such a reminder. She just brought to mind how it was a few years ago when her mother was so sick. And her mother lived to be in her 90s, and I believe she was at a good age. I think she was already in her 90s when she was supposedly dying at this point. And just thinking about that day when Dawn called me and asked me if I would pray with her mother. And perhaps you've heard this story before, but it's such a marvel. Such a beautiful story. You know, they were all saying that she was dying. And indeed it looked like it. In so many ways, all the indicators were there. But Dawn called me and asked if I would pray with her before she left this world, as it was assumed at that point. And praise the Lord, yes, I made the telephone call, and you know, Dawn put the phone near to her ear, and I began to call upon the Lord. And, you know, there was no response. I knew at the moment And so prayed a while and then, you know, hung up. But I didn't feel like, you know, I'd really got there. That I, you know, really, you know, that the need had really been met. So I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And I began to pray in tongues. And it's so amazing because just a few minutes later, Dawn called again and said, "Mother's ready to pray now." And what an experience that was. Because this time, this dear, precious woman was crying out with all her heart. It was such an amazing thing. It was so different than the first call. She was crying out and she was saying things like, "Lord, save me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I give you my heart." She was just crying out with all her being. And it was just such a marvel. This woman who has died, they all were, you know, waiting for that moment. Well, praise the Lord, she didn't die. At that point at all, she lived 3.5 years beyond that. But after this incident, one day she said to Dawn, she said, "You know, when I was so sick," she said, "I don't remember very much what happened. The only thing I remember is praying with Shirley." And she said, "I could see her. It was like she was right there." And, you know, I don't know. I know Dawn's mother was pretty much blind besides. But God did a marvelous work. And here was this woman who was so faint and so sick and, you know, dying and everything else. And all I know is God did a wonderful work. God wrought salvation. God worked in her heart in such a way. And I don't know, I had said to Dawn, you know, when all this was going on, that I had wished I could be there. Well, it's like the Lord took me there. And I don't know, you know, how it all happened. But praise the Lord, all I know is that we serve an amazing God who reaches down, who has such compassion, who has such mercy. Oh, who sees us in our low moments, who sees us when we're ready to faint, who knows the pain that we feel and all the burdens that we have and all the discouragement and all the trouble. He sees it, and he hears our cries and he responds. Oh, this mighty God, the creator of the universe, oh, this God that you cannot compare to, and there is none that is equal to him. But yet, praise the Lord, our gracious, wonderful Savior came to this earth as a man. He put on flesh. He didn't have to come to this world. He didn't have to stoop so low to make himself a little lower than the angels to come to this world and to come to this world to die. Oh, yes, so that we could have a hope beyond this world. Oh, yes, so that we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so we could give our hearts over to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he cries out. He calls out. Oh, there is that call that comes out. Our God, oh, he's so gracious. He's so merciful. Oh, he's reached down to touch each one of us. Praise the Lord. You know, he's made salvation a possibility. Oh, yes, so we could approach the living God. Oh, yes, so we could call upon him, so we could have a relationship with him. So, oh, yes, we can talk to him. We can come before him. We can bring our requests. We can make our petitions known to the living God, the creator of the universe. Oh, this mighty one, to whom, oh, there is none to compare to. Praise the Lord, oh, the wonderful God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Oh, You know, what a wonder it is. And I've seen him do so many wonderful things. I know he reached out and touched my daddy. Oh, yes, they said he had congestive heart failure. And you know, I don't suppose he was expected to live too much longer either at that moment. But I'll tell you what, I prayed that night. I saw my dad and realized he was breathing so heavily and he didn't look very good. And he had, you know, the swelling in his legs and everything else. Oh, I guess I spent a night in prayer. But you know what? The next morning, there was a change. Oh, yes. And, you know, my dad recovered from that. You know, I don't know that they ever spoke of congestive heart failure again. But my dad, praise the Lord, and he had several more years that the Lord gave him. Praise the Lord. But that's our God who gives power to the faint. And them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Oh, have you been there? Have you been at that place where you had no strength of your own? You had this to do and you had that to do. Oh, yes, and you know, you had needs. Yet the Lord gave you a strength that you knew only came from him. He gave you an ability. Oh, yes, he took that weakness and somehow worked it out so that we could go forth and declare the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our mighty God. No matter how desperate the situation, how great the need may seem, our God has such mercy. He has such compassion. Oh, as that shepherd tenderly leading his flock and gathering his lambs with his arms, carrying them in his bosom. Oh, he sees when we're down there in that struggle and that pit. Oh, that burden. And you know, he reaches down, oh, to help us, to gather us in his bosom. Oh, yes, to comfort us, to give us hope. Oh, yes, to heal us when we have that need of healing. Oh, our wonderful God who gently leads those that are with young, oh, who loves his people, who paid such a price that we might have salvation, that we might indeed be the sheep of his pasture. Praise the Lord, our gracious, wonderful God. Oh, yes, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, the Lord giving us a strength that comes from him, an ability that comes from him. Oh, raising us up so that we can walk in his strength, in his might, healing us of our diseases. Oh, bringing forth a wonderful salvation, deliverance, meeting the need, whatever it might be. Oh, our precious God. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it says wait upon him. You know, if you're waiting, it might almost be boring. Because, you know, often when we think of waiting, we're, you know, sitting in a lounge or something, just, you know, waiting for our name to be called, perhaps. But, you know, we're not doing a lot, are we? I mean, you know, there's going to be one who's, you know, who's going to help us. We're waiting for that strength. You know, we're calling upon him. And you know, it just, he knows how to help us. But see, there's some endurance. It might take a while there before they call our name, say, if we're waiting for that moment. And so it is with the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait on him for the answers to come. It might not always be at the snap of a finger. But praise the Lord. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, you know, we're calling upon God. And we're waiting for the answer to come. And praise the Lord, our mighty God. Oh, the one that loved us so much that he died for us, though we would not have had to, he did it because of his great love for us, his great mercy, his great compassion. And here he is. He's here tonight to give power to the faint, to them that have no might in themselves. Praise the Lord. He knows how to increase strength. Oh, I can witness of that myself. I don't know how many times. Oh, all the time. You know, he gives me a strength that I don't have in myself. He gives me an ability I don't have in myself. I know that. I know my strength comes from God. I know it's not in me. But that's our gracious God, the mighty one who spoke this world into existence. Oh, and who cared so much that he took our place on the cross, that we might be joint heirs with Christ, praise the Lord, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might inherit eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, he rescued us out of the world's sin and has given us great hope. Oh, that's our gracious God. Oh, praise the Lord, who gives us a power and a strength that we don't have of ourselves. Praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. If we wait upon him, yes, the promise that he would renew our strength so that we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can soar beyond that which we would normally do because God is with us. God enables us. Oh, the mighty God has breathed into our nostrils. Oh, yes. His strength, his breath, his gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, we can walk and not faint. Praise the Lord, run and not be weary. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, we could call upon him tonight. Oh, praise the Lord, God is here to meet every need. Oh, he is there with you, oh, wherever you are tonight, to meet your need. Oh, yes, to lift up that heavy burden. Oh, yes, to heal that disease. Oh, yes, to deliver your soul. Whatever the need is, we serve the mighty God. And there's nothing too hard for him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, you love him tonight. Oh, yes, we can call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver us, and we shall glorify him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's calling tonight. Reach out and touch him. Touch his throne here tonight. Wait upon the Lord. Oh, yes, and he will renew your strength. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. We cry unto thee, Lord Jesus, and ask you to have mercy. Oh, God. Oh, God, to meet the needs, Lord Jesus, for thou knowest and thou carest. Oh, Lord, thou seest, thou regardest. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. Amen. There's nothing too hard for him. Praise the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, praise you, Lord. Work, Lord Jesus. God, let thy will be done in Jesus' name. Praise thee, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our chorus books to number 48 and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord, your name. Praise God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.